Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. It's going to be a great show here on Monday, Earth Day.
Wednesday. We've all been goofed up on our days. All right.
Whatever it is.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. It's Earth Day. And thank God, 50 years of just wonderfulness. We're going to have George Anthanasopoulos on, talk about the assemblies. We're going to have Lauren Bobby, we hope to have come on. She's the winner in the assembly, tearing up Scott Tipton by a huge margin. Although he got on by petition, which shows you how confident he is, because petitions cost you a lot of money. So he had to spend a lot of money. I'm sure he gets lots of money from the
RNCC. We finish that, I want to point out to folks, so this show is sponsored by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. They've got a great story up there. On the one hand today, Jared Polis is saying, oh, we need more testing. And they have a story that says, if they're talking to this company in Colorado that says, hey, we have all kinds of tests. We're ready to help. All you need to do is lose. So, yeah, but the biggest thing we want to talk about, and we're going to have Peter Boyles coming up with us at 3:15, is I'm sure everybody in the universe by now has seen the pictures of these two people in scrubs, which I keep pointing out you can buy at a Halloween store, right? Standing, and this is on a Sunday, standing in front of in the crosswalk, blocking the people who were there for the rally to reopen Colorado. They have been portrayed all over the world, essentially being called heroic nurses,
healthcare workers.
Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. We have found out, we believe we know who those people are. And they're not healthcare workers. No. Not even, well, I guess maybe if you really stretched it, you could call them healthcare workers, but not the kind of healthcare workers that you might be thinking about. Just to let you know, right now, we don't want to say the names right now because we're trying to get hold of them to try to get them
to come
on the show. We're reaching out to them to try to get them to come on the show. You know, don't want to be saying this. We want to give them a chance to say their word. But let me just kind of talk about that for a little bit. We have talked to people. I have personally talked to sources who say they believe they know who these people are. Nothing to do with the healthcare industry. They said they recognize these two people in scrubs as people who are actually associated with organizations like Progress Now and Antifa, who showed up to harass the people who last year were gathering the signatures to recall Governor Jared Polis. They said they recognized them immediately. They say the man works, well, both of them apparently work at Adams County and Adams County Strip Club and a strip club in Denver, hence the maybe their
healthcare workers.
He
doesn't work at the one in Denver, but she does.
Yes, he works at the one in Adams County. Like I said, we're reaching out to them, trying
to our friends in the strip club industry.
That's right, of which we have some, mm-hmm. To see if we can get them to talk. But I want to kind of go over the whole thing because I want to go back to how I guess it's the lack of analytical thinking and critical thinking on the part of a lot of people in this. Let's go back to how this all started. So there is this rally. A freelance photographer by the name of Allison McLaren says she just kind of happened upon this scene, which, by the way, was several blocks from where the main action was going on, and she took the picture. Now, she immediately starts tweeting out that these are healthcare workers, that these are nurses, right, and that they're heroic nurses. And I want to say that you got to understand something about Twitter. So her Twitter account opens that day. She has no previous tweets, no previous replies. The only thing she has tweeted started on that day, and she's tweeting the picture in which she is identifying the people as healthcare workers. So she goes in one day from zero followers to over 5,000 followers. I believe what that is the sock puppets from Progress Now, some of these progressive organizations, and they orchestrate that. They make it go viral.
And she quickly is suddenly a guest on Kyle Clark's show, is known for its hoaxes.
Right.
And was he part of this one? Well, you know, you won't find out from Kyle. But certainly, you know, a lot of people found him suspicious at best.
A lack of critical thinking. So that's just back out. So the whole reason we think that these people are healthcare workers is because Allison is telling us they're healthcare workers. Well, in the Denver
Post. Let me finish.
So she acknowledges in an interview with the Denver Post that they didn't talk to her. They wouldn't tell her who they were.
Right.
They wouldn't tell her where she worked. So she's just assuming that, right? It's that lie that gets told and over again. So then what happens is a Westwood reporter also sees this, and the Westwood reporter says that they would not give their names, they wouldn't say where they work. They simply said she said she's a healthcare worker and she works at a Denver area hospital and has been treating COVID-19 patients for weeks, and in fact is going to work that night to treat more COVID-19 patients. So The Denver Post then runs with it. Their headline is, two people who identify themselves as healthcare workers at a local hospital. Okay. Nowhere does anyone verify that these people work at a local hospital or are healthcare workers. In fact, nobody except for the Westworld reporter even talked to these people, right? No one even talked to them. No one can find them. As far as we know, there have been zero efforts to even find them.
For us, and
Peter Boyles at 710 CAN US. I want to also say, let's just look at the circumstances. And this is why I really do fault the media for this, for the lack of critical thinking. One of the other things I want to point out is that the people who were in the truck, the women who have been demonized all over the world, they came forward, right? They gave interviews, they talked on CAN US, they talked to people, right? I find it extremely suspicious.
The two heroes,
not only have they not come forward, but there has been zero peep of them coming forward. There's been zero. I mean, you would think the pool of people, there have been 2,000 hospitalizations, COVID-19 hospitalizations in Colorado, okay? You would think that the pool of healthcare workers who are actively treating on a daily basis COVID patients is a fairly limited pool. You would think that there would be somewhere in social media, with all of the attention this has gotten, somebody would be saying, hey, that's Bill. I worked with Bill. That's you. I worked with you last night, right? So even if they didn't want to come forward, you would think that there would be chatter about it. There would be rumors, but there have been zero.
Well, how many hosts have we had in this
thing? Let us count the ways.
Yeah, count the ways. I mean, just simply go to the nurse who said, you know, they were forcing him to come in, even so they had no mask.
She's crying.
Crying and everything else. Fraud.
Fraud. She hadn't been there. Let's look at the Covington kids, right? Same thing. It was a very similar tactic.
Right, right.
And I tell you, that's how these Progress Now Antifa people work. They have somebody takes a picture, right? It goes viral. It's spread hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times by a relatively few number of people with a lot of accounts. They're called sock puppets, right? It turns out that all is traced back to an account that's a fake account. It lists to some person it's not their account, right? Wouldn't shock me that if some of the people immediately started retweeting this Allison thing. I mean, you don't believe me. Anyone who's tried to get a Twitter following, you don't go from zero to 5,000 in a day.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, spontaneously, right? So the so-called heroes won't come forward, not a peep from them, right? And I go back to, again, so the Twitter account is suspicious. I go back to the fact that we have talked to people who said we recognize them immediately. They are the Progress. They're associated with Progress Now and Antifa. They're the people who showed up to go ahead to harass us at the Jared Recall Polis signature gathering. Now, I know this. The person that I talked to said, you know, I don't know what kind of car the people in the at the rally, who the so-called health workers, what kind of car they were driving. But I can tell you the people who we recognize as these people, right, were in a black SUV at the Recall Polis harassment incidents. Well, guess what kind of car, Peter Boyles has found this out, and we'll talk to him about this in a couple of minutes. Guess what kind of car the people, if somebody saw these people getting out of at the rally?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Black SUV. Go figure. What a coincidence. So,
no, it's really incredible. And it does show you, you know, they are fake news at the Denver Post. They don't care that they didn't check it out. They don't care that they didn't do anything when they spread it around the world to make any effort to
do
it. So it's up to us,
right,
to actually check it. And, you know, quite frankly, if they work at a strip club and they wanted to go out there and
good for them.
I mean, you know, it's easy. And Kyle Clark is just horrendous. I mean, he has no moral, ethical, or journalistic standards. So, you know, he's happy to play along.
Well, and here's the thing. And Chuck, you know, you raise a good point. The people, the guy, right? I mean, apparently they're not, well, the woman may be lying. They're not lying, right? They know that nobody, at least nobody so far in the mainstream media, raised a red flag and said, hey, look, we didn't take the picture. We don't know the circumstances surrounding the picture. We don't know the woman. We know
her
name.
But now there are hundreds of pictures.
Right. Well, it's the same picture, right?
No.
Well, okay, but there... we only know this. She's not an on-staff person. I don't know what role, if any, she played in this. Maybe she just wandered up into that. I personally have my suspicions
possible,
about that.
It's possible, but all the coincidence, and they always end up this way. Gee, there's a lot of coincidences.
And it becomes a lie. It was in Breitbart today where the two so-called healthcare workers are being compared to Tank Man in Tiananmen Square.
Right.
Like you said, Chuck, the hoaxes. We know there have been other instances where these Antifa people show up at Trump rallies, right, carrying Nazi signs saying they're Trump Penn supporters. They want to push it out. We know that this is a tactic. We looked at what they did to Patrick Neville, right? Patrick Neville wears his mask. He's at the rally. State Representative Patrick Neville wears the mask the entire time. He takes it off once, briefly, to help a woman. And what picture gets spread around and goes viral, and the Democrats are pushing out that picture without any explanation. So we know this is a tactic.
Once again, if these two people work at a strip club and they like to go out and do
protest
theater, it's okay with me. But what I hate is when the Denver Post, who purports to have standards, it doesn't normally, if it's just two people dressed as healthcare workers, fair enough.
Right.
Fair enough.
But that
doesn't give them the storyline they want.
No, and their headline is two people who identify themselves as healthcare workers at local hospitals. Then they do the breathless interview with the freelance photographer who's like, I knew this was going to be big when I saw it.
Yeah.
And her story gets a little bit more elaborate.
Pinky all the time.
All of a sudden,
Kyle Clark are up to something.
And all of a sudden, the people at the rally are trying to run over the healthcare workers.
Yeah.
Not even remotely
not even
true,
close,
right?
Yeah.
They're screaming them. None of that
Channel
is true.
9, Denver Post. Usual,
they're calling,
fake news.
They're calling them nurses. So there's no indication that they're nurses, and everybody just runs with it. There's no critical thinking. And like I said, we believe that we know who they are.
Yes.
They work at an Adams County strip club.
Adult entertainment.
Understand. Right, and we
adult healthcare.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. Although they're closed now, so it's just outrageous. And you look at all of the circumstances. One other thing, too, I want to talk about. I talked to a doctor today, and I said, well, what's the deal? Because the people who were promoting this are saying, oh, all the rally people are going to make everyone sick, right? Because they're railing. What I talked to a doctor, and I said, so let's just say that they're telling the truth, and they really are treating COVID-19 patients and have been for weeks. Aren't there like regulations or some kind of guidelines that suggest?
Well, they've come in contact, obviously, with COVID patients.
Right.
And we know that nurses, and that have come and often have contracted it, even with their best efforts they could make. And so would you go out into a crowded protest knowing that you're potentially, you tested 2 days ago? No, but today? Who knows?
Right. And the doctor told me that would be, he said, first of all, I can't imagine a healthcare worker doing that.
Right.
A healthcare worker knowing they have been exposed to this virus, deliberately, intentionally walking out into a big crowd of people. He said, I can't imagine that. But he said, if they did, that would be so incredibly irresponsible. So even there, you've got problems. So, we're going to continue to do it. We're going to get Peter. And I guess, hey, for the guys at BBS, if you want to go ahead and try to call Peter, let's go ahead and try to bring him on now. We're going to talk about that some more because I think it just, the people who staged this, because I truly believe with good reason that it was staged. And I guess let me clarify, there was way more evidence that it was staged. There are way more people who have come forward and said, hey, I recognize those people. They're not healthcare workers. Mm-hmm. They are Antifa Progress Now people. Then there are on the other side who have said, no, I worked with this person last night at ICU and they're legit, right? We haven't heard that at all. But for the mainstream media here in town initially, and then across the country to just go with this. It's a lie that gets repeated. Nobody stopped from what we can tell and raised the red flag and said, should we try to contact these people? Should we try to find out who they are? We know that this is a tactic that has been used. Maybe they're legit, maybe they're not, but before we run with it, before we make them heroes, before we demonize the two women in the truck
there. The two women did get demonized.
And they continue to. We need to check it out before we run with this picture. Zero.
Well, I think it's just driving the Denver Post's credibility down, Kyle Clark, to the extent he has any less left credibility. I mean, it's just when you run with hoaxes, you promote hoaxes.
This is what happened. Yeah. Well, we got Peter with us. Hey, Peter. Peter Royals, the one, the only 710 KNUS morning talk show, number one talk show in the universe, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Peter, thank you for joining us. You have been all over this story. Tell us what kinds of stuff you're hearing.
Well, if you lie down with hoaxes, What do you get up with,
Charles? That's right. Who?
if you lie down with hoaxes, Charles, what do you get up with?
Something communicable.
You know, Peter, you've talked to the ladies who are in the truck. What are they? Tell us, you know, their description versus some of the descriptions we're seeing in the media about what happened.
Well, you know, it's first of all, the work that Julie, you've done, and the people that you guys are dealing with and people that I'm dealing with. And one of the significant things about this moment, and I think that will continue tomorrow, is we still have a curtain of silence. Although I think like you and like Chuck, I think we're very, very close, inches away from being to say the names and who they are and who their employer is, unless there's something I've missed. Because right. I've been reading all afternoon. My sources, and I think some of them are yours, and yours are some of mine. But not that we're at a standstill.
No.
But we're at a pause.
But we're trying to get them on our program.
Yeah, but we're doing this.
Your program.
Right.
We're reaching out to their employers and other ones to see if we can
do it. But, you know, tell me this, Peter. I mean, you were skeptical from the beginning. Talk to us a little bit about that and why.
Well, you know, when I saw them and just the inability for any front range media outlet, I mean, they were proclaimed. It was, as we've come through the season, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Yeah.
These people were overwhelmingly proclaimed as heroes and, you know, all kinds of. One of the things that came up from a friend of mine is this really a case of stolen valor, which I think is an interesting sidebar question to all of it. But I think that as I listen to Chuck talk about the Post, I think you guys, the media were so willing, so wanted to believe that this was exactly what it wasn't, but they went with it.
But how many times have they done that from Jesse Smollett to the Covington kids?
New York nurse who was
New
sobbing.
Nurse,
to Sean Hannity killed people from coronavirus.
It increases the credulity that they really care. Does the Denver Post care with the fraud? Does Kyle Clark care that he's committing what he's doing to people?
Journalistic malpractice.
Yes, at best.
And there's also that aspect of being able to hit Donald Trump over the head with it.
Oh.
Because the pictures that were chosen, many of them were like somebody's holding a Trump sign or Make America Great sign.
Right.
And it was seen and continues to be seen, by the way, as this is a pro-Trump movement. In fact, somebody on CNN, I believe, said that Donald Trump was urging people to do this. And we've gotten to know some of these people. And when I say, hey, did Trump call you up and tell you I'm down Grant Street? I'm not.
No.
Well, push comes to shove. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
It fits the narrative.
And you've talked to the women. And this I find, again, really suspicious, which, again, all leads to me, you know, when you build the case against who are these people who are not these people. Mm-hmm. I believe really strongly that we know who these people are. You know, the two women in the truck who've been just demonized. I mean, it's outrageous what's happened to them. They were willing to come forward and tell their story. I find it really suspicious that no one can find these so-called healthcare workers. There's zero talk about who they might be.
And Cindy and Paula, that, you know, we've said Maverick and Goose. And I thought the interesting thing was, when I asked him, I said, is anyone, Kyle Clark, the Denver Post, Lance Hernandez, I'll give you a list. I said, has anyone attempted to contact you? And this morning on a radio show, they said no. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, they're the culprits. They're the evil Trump, pro-coronavirus, fill in the blanks. And I said, would the Channel 9 try and find you? And they're enlisted. I mean, we didn't use their last names.
Right. But they're not hard. In this day and age, Peter, you can find anybody. I see we've got Chris Doty listening, and he's a listener of yours, and I'm glad he's one of our new listeners, so thank you to that. But he, you know, he and I were chatting earlier today, and he said, look, you can find, and he showed me. He's like, you can find anybody. Let me ask you about this black SUV. My source tells me that the people that they believe these two people are, the people linked to Progress Now and Antifa, would show up at the Jared Polis recall signature petition signing things, right? Trying to disrupt them and stuff in a black SUV. Do you have any information? Have you heard anything about what kind of vehicle these guys might have been in?
I had a, and again, I had someone from law enforcement, not naming any department, that believes that they arrived together in a black SUV. Now, I didn't see it. Now, again, see, here's where you and I, Chuck, are, and some other good people are. We're, what's that great thing, you know, the blind men and the elephant, you know, we're touching at different places and hearing different things. I think the significance of all of it before, and it won't be long. I mean, I know maybe by tomorrow, hopefully by the weekend, we'll be able to say what we want to say. But the most important thing, I think, and this is how quickly, from the Denver Post to 9 to 7 to 4 to, and it went global this morning and last night, I started to search for how many people used a picture. I think we talked about it this morning. I ended up just printing directories.
Yeah,
when the Chinese global, global news is China's Pravda.
Right.
Or Izvestia. They used it. The Guardian used it. It was been used. I found it on Al Jazeera, the picture of Paula and Cindy. Now, you know, so how quickly everybody wanted that picture to be true.
Right.
I think it's like some of those weird things. And I'm a big fan of the lore of the Yeti, the Bigfoot.
Right.
And on any one of those bizarre media outlets, if somebody takes a picture, someone says, there's the Yeti or there's the Bigfoot. Without question, that picture appears as the Yeti or the Bigfoot.
Right. Well,
and this is far more important than the Yeti and the Bigfoot.
And, you know, I think, Peter, and you're right, and I share, just as, you know, a former TV reporter, alarm at the fact that these people who we believe to be fake nurses, right, we believe the whole thing was staged and deliberately set up. But clearly, they knew that the media would bite. Clearly, they're not worried about us saying who they are because they know no one's going to care, right? I mean, we care, but no one's going to demonize them, right? They're not worried about that. And I think the way that this whole thing was handled shows that they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly how the media was going to just jump at the bait, happy to run with it without fear.
They've done it before. And I mean, I came up with a thing and said it was Tiananmen Square. And that was the photo they won this morning. Paula said it was, you know, they wanted to be Tiananmen Square with Paula's or Cindy's truck to be the tank. And that also begs the question of the role of photographer and her boyfriend.
Right. Yes. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, what involvement do they have in this, if any?
Right.
Because that's significant. And
I found, here's the thing that I find suspicious about her is that she opens. So this initially all gets posted through her on her Twitter account, right? And as I said at the beginning, so she opened her Twitter account just this month. The first tweet she ever posts is this picture in which she's calling them healthcare workers, even though she later acknowledges that they wouldn't talk to her. She didn't know who they were. And she goes from zero followers to 5,000 followers in a day. Now,
and her boyfriend, by the way, does what just calls them. I'm paraphrasing him, but they're the front range fighters against fought the virus, and then so he was so angry he joined them, is what he says. And I'm thinking, how do you know any of this?
Right. Because she said they wouldn't talk to her. Well, let's get back to then just step into a comment that you made, and we talked about this on your show, and I know you'll be talking about it tomorrow, too bright and early, but the stolen valor thing. What do you mean by that?
Well, it comes from a friend of mine who is retired military, albeit a physician. You know, people claiming to be a Medal of Honor winner, you know, something like that, and they're not. And there was a book written about it, and you know, they turn these jokers up. And this guy said to me, he said, is it a case of stolen valor? In other words, are they claiming to have been coronavirus healthcare fighters on the front line? In fact, you and I are pretty sure we're working what they do.
Right. Heroes. Exactly. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Now, here again, no, we're not going to hear any outrage from people on it. I think because the actual healthcare workers are like really very busy caring for health.
Yeah, a little tired on Sundays.
They're a little tired after, you know, lengthy shifts. But You know, the whole thing to me, and you know what, and we'll let folks call in 888-627-6008. And I see we've got some people here with us on Zoom too. If you want to, you know, pop in, all you got to do is unmute yourself and you can do that. But you know, Peter, I just, to me, you know, it is so sad. And I know I've heard from some other media people who say, hey, don't blast all of us. And okay, let me make clear, not blasting all of us. But I also know, because I saw it.
And who's
raising the red flag, right? Who's saying, hey, you know what? I mean, I've said, and we're going to have a lady on, your friend Dahlia, on Friday, used to be a Rocky Mountain News reporter. And she said, you know, when I was a Rocky Mountain News reporter, and I saw this a million times, when you were the photographer, you would take the picture of somebody, right? And then you would go up and contact them and get their name. And if they wouldn't give you their name or where they worked, well, then there was it was very likely that they wouldn't run the picture. And she said, what happened that that's no longer required anymore?
Well, when you say not all of us, who internally at the Post or the TV outlets or any place went to the boss or the program director or the news director and said, we better not do this.
Right.
Because I haven't found that person.
You know, and you know what? And I can tell you, and this was right after Trump was elected. So we're going back, you know, 3 years now. When I was in a TV newsroom at Fox 31, it was extremely difficult to raise. Even then, it was changing. It was extremely difficult to raise your hand and say, hey, wait a minute. Right. I mean, if it was going to be a bad story about the Denver Broncos, then you could, of course, say it. But if it was going to be something, I mean, they would postpone that, you know. So, well, let me ask you, because we'll let you go and we'll get some phones in. What do you got coming up tomorrow morning then?
Well, yeah, we have this woman, Greta Ball. And Greta Ball was the woman that Kyle Clark said that weird stuff to about, why don't you just say they're Jews?
That was just awful.
Right.
And Billy Thorpe's found her, and she's agreed to appear. And again, there's a lot of, and you and I will talk early this evening, or all three of us will talk again, but we're just not quite there.
Well, like I said, I think
we're closing in.
We're closing in. Like I said, Peter, I've talked to my source. My source is very confident. You know, the people I talked to were saying, no, we recognize those people. Yet you want to be careful. So I find it ironic that you're a talk show, we're a podcast, we're being more careful than anybody in some of the mainstream media was before we just start running this stuff.
Yeah, what I've, through indirect sources, there are people who absolutely hate us. The three of us, the four of us.
Me?
People hate Chuck.
Me? I mean, I understand Julie.
I know.
You?
Yeah. Not you.
Don't try to get me mixed up in this kind of thing.
Good. Remember our motto. Good Julie. Julie, you finish it.
Bad Chuck.
Absolutely.
Worst Peter.
You guys, for people who don't listen, for years, Chuck and Peter have had an argument over who is the most hated person. And then they both try to claim that honor.
We all know who has the crown.
I don't know, Peter. You've had your moments. I think the crown shifts back and forth. You're saying we know people are gunning for us.
Someday I do the Lou Gehrig, you know, and that's enough. I'd rather go do other things. But when I came home, you know, I come through all this craziness, I rolled the motorcycle out and went for a ride. And it was like, felt real good. It was kind of cool. And, you know, and you can, all of us, like put Billy Thorpe in it, the station that we work for and everybody. I said, you know, we can be proud of ourselves. I come back to what you're doing with a podcast. We have this, you guys are real familiar with it, 5,000 watt directional AM radio station. And going back to heroin injection and the insanity of the homeless and the things that we have talked about, they're unheard of. I mean, I have a wonderful friend who works in the business texting me in the morning about what we're doing. And you know that when you found out this morning, for instance, that a television station, after you appeared with me, a guy called you and was mad at you for what you would dare say. So they're listening. They're out there.
Yeah.
And yet, any of us, and I had this conversation again with Sunday when the book is written, we'll name names, but, and I said, no, I don't think anything's going to change. And they said, well, do you think that after you do this or after this? And no, I don't think anything's going to change. Do you think Nine News is going to change? We, you know, the only time they ever solved any mysteries when they showed you the real killer of JonBenet Ramsey. I mean, you got to remember that, Mark Carr.
Well, and that was, that's right. But that wasn't the parents. That's right. That's right. You go back, you're right, but you go back to them. And Paula Woodward made the deal with the Ramseys. Talk about Mayor Hancock.
Look, the Rocky Mountain News was in bed with that. Michael Tracy was in bed with it. The district attorney in Boulder, they were all, there was a cluster line of Channel 9, the Rocky Mountain News, Michael Tracy, the district attorney. As a matter of fact, Paula Woodward wrote a book that was a clearing or attempting to, no one ever read it, attempting to clear John Ramsey until all of a sudden a great work by somebody that's friends of all of ours gets to the grand jury and says, no, we wanted to indict them. We wanted to indict them. I mean, we know this story. I know we all know this. The point of it is, where is a hard-hitting investigative media that I watched Kyle Clark last night with just all mommy news stories about how everybody gets along and how they took the backyard fence and turned it into a bar between neighbors and everybody loves each other and going, okay, all right, fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's what passes.
Folks and backyard barbecues.
There you go. Well, Peter, listen.
But I don't know, you guys. I don't know.
We'll see. Well, we're never, that's my motto. Never give
never
up.
Never give up.
That's them calling
you,
Peter.
Both.
Thank
Thanks.
You for your time.
Bye.
Everybody listen, 710 KNUS tomorrow morning, starting at 5. Peter, thank you for your time and the work you're doing on this.
I just want to emphasize again, our sponsor, Colorado Citizen Press. Got a great stories today. Great stories. Got to check
them out. Got to check them out. And if we could have the guys at BBS call George Anthonisopoulos, we have want to talk to him about this and also some other Republican Party stuff. But in the meantime, too, 888-627-6008, the number if you want to call in, or the folks who are listening on Zoom, if you want to weigh in on this, just go ahead.
Hit your mute button.
Hit your unmute your mute button. So to sort of recap, we believe we know who the two people in the scrubs and the picture that's going around the world, we believe we know who they are. I have talked to sources who said they believe that these people are two people associated with Progress Now and Antifa, and the reason they recognize them, they said, is they would show up and try to harass the people during the recall polis petition drive. So there would be these events where people were out there trying to gather signatures, and these guys would show up and they would try to harass the signature gatherers. And so at that time, they obviously did a little bit of research to figure out who they were, to see if they were dangerous or et cetera, et cetera. They recognize them immediately, right? We have talked to them, so we believe we know who they are. We do not believe that they are healthcare workers.
We believe they work in a strip club in Adams County, where we're broadcasting from. And
not the strip club.
Not
the,
well, no, and she works also in downtown Denver at a strip club.
So we're trying to reach out to them.
Try to get them on, and maybe they'll come on.
That's
you know,
right.
They're world famous. But in talking about world famous, we've got the A-man here, George Anthonisopoulos, and he's joined us online too. Hey, George.
Hey, George.
Hello. How are you guys? World famous? Probably not.
Oh, I don't know. You know, we wanted to talk a little bit about, speaking of hoaxes and things that need to be questioned, we'll get into that. But just in general, you know, your take on this whole, you know, the so-called healthcare workers who we believe are not healthcare workers at all, and the scrubs, a picture that's gone round the world trashing, well, they're trying to trash Trump, even though I think there were just a lot of people there who wanted to get back to work. But your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's a lie. Let's just start there. But it was a very well done lie. And
yes.
The only reason that they got away with it was that it was aided and abetted by the media, who took a couple of people in scrubs and a face mask and who said they were medical professionals at their word. I mean, I can say I'm king of Colorado. If they're just going to take my word for it and print an article about it, great. But
you know, you raise a good point.
Isn't it,
we've been
it's
wearing
part of being a journalist, right? Get the facts.
We've been wearing masks. The mask that Chuck wears is from Rev's Stormtrooper Halloween costume from Fortnite. So you should have gone out there and you should have said, I'm Stormtrooper from Fortnite here to stop the protest. And you're right. They would have run with it. You know, it's like, here is Stormtrooper.
Based on the anecdotal reports that I've received, and I can't confirm the source, but I want to announce to the world that Chuck Bonnewell is in fact an Imperial stormtrooper.
There we go.
Like I said, I can't deny my sources.
I adamantly deny that I'm Imperial stormtrooper. But
well, that's good.
But Chuck, it would take one to know one. That makes it a fact, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, so let's jump into it. And I'll let you and Chuck kind of explain this. The other reason we wanted to talk to you. I know. Thank you, Chuck. He's like, Julie, I get to talk now.
No, barely.
Well, just take it away. Take it away. So, it's hard being a stormtrooper.
It really is. The blood queen. I've been watching Game of Thrones, and I see Julie in a lot of these characters. Hey.
Well, that's the naked women part. No, we're digressing.
As some people know, there was a state assembly for the Republicans. The biggest race in there was the Republican committee man. You got a man and a woman. They're appointed to the RNC. They make all the rules to the convention. There are only 100 of them, so even though you probably haven't
heard
them
before,
two from every state. They're very important. It's a very important position, and we have the usual Eli Brimmer, who is accused of rigging an
establishment Republican from El Paso County.
Accused of rigging.
Senate
Surprise,
District 10.
Senate District 10, so much that they said they're going to put them both people on the ballot. And he said, I could not swear to a ballot that somebody got 30% to. Just amazing. But what was even more amazing was a little email that a lot of the people got from our chairman. Tell them about it, George.
So it was an email, and mind you, we received it the day after the voting closed. So you could vote via text until, what was it, Wednesday?
Last night at midnight, 11:59.
No, you could.
Tuesday, 11:59.
No, you could vote.
Monday, 11:59. We received an email on Tuesday. And it said, these three members were not credentialed, and therefore we want to suspend all the rules to allow them to vote.
But only for them, right? Only for them. I couldn't call up or something.
Yeah. No. But and they said, and our esteemed chairman said, and this comes from the El Paso people. You can't go.
Well, that's a...
Who are the El Paso people? All right, Vicky Tompkins? You mean the chair of the El Paso County Republicans? No.
It's the other
El Paso people. And I said, well, you know, the only way we can do this, if nobody objects, they should be able to vote.
And so let me kind of reset this too. So folks, they're like, what?
Luckily we got to talk a little bit, George.
So what we had though is we had the grassroots candidate for national committee person, Randy Corcoran, running against the establishment Republican person, Eli Brimmer. They had the vote. The vote was closed, right? Rules. Everybody knew the rules. There was no secret to this. Chuck got 8 million emails. So then after the vote is closed.
The following day,
Chairman Ken Buck, the head of the Colorado Republican Party, says, oh, El Paso County has just now realized.
Not about the people in El Paso. People.
No.
Just generally people in El Paso County.
Realized that they forgot to credential some people. So we want to reopen and let them vote. Now, George, were the people that they forgot to credential, were these newbies, as Rev says when he plays his video games, people, you know, might have been confused by the policy, people who might be grassroots? Who were these people who were so confused, they forgot to vote, so we got to reopen the whole vote for their sake?
So one was Representative Lamborn. Another one was a member of the General Assembly. And the third was a county commissioner who is married to our former Secretary of State. So these are three elected officials.
So who are involved in politics.
And here's the thing. What I find just, it doesn't pass the test of being reasonable. So you have three people who've been involved in politics for a hot minute, and they didn't realize they weren't credentialed, not just the day of the assembly, or the next day, or even the next day. It was only until after voting had closed that they realized, hey, we weren't credentialed, and we want you to suspend the rules by unanimous consent to allow us to vote. First of all, if you look at the bylaws and the rules, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, I have a pretty good understanding, but I am, you know, not above reproach here. But typically, U.S. representatives are automatic voting members to state assemblies and conventions, automatic, by virtue of their elected position. County commissioners are not,
okay,
as far as I know. So
what if they're married to the former Secretary of State?
But they're not the same.
Right.
And then to lump them together implies that by virtue of them all being elected, they're all automatic votes, which right, two of them are, the third is not. So
if they bothered to vote.
County Commissioner Holly Williams get elected at her precinct or county assembly to the state assembly? If so, how is that an oversight?
Right.
Was that, how did that mistake happen?
And just because you don't know, Wayne Williams, the former Secretary of State, was representing Eli Bremer on charges that he crooked the SD-10 election. Strange connection.
Yeah. Web of influence, we call it.
Yeah.
Well, and George, yeah, so here's my read on it. And I mean, call me crazy, but it's kind of like voting when the voting ends. And again, because I watched Chuck go through this process. This is a voting process that was open for several days. You got a million emails. The people
are calling you,
Randy,
all the time.
And Eli, yeah, calling you saying, have you voted? Have you voted? Have you voted? Right. So to me, it seems like if you didn't vote, then that's just too darn bad, right? It's not like, as you said, even if it was a surprise, let's even say that Doug Lamborn was like, I just couldn't really work the whole text
message. So who exactly had to give it?
That's too bad.
Who had to give the unanimous consent?
All of the delegates to the state assembly. Mm-hmm. I, being one of the delegates, will say I objected. Therefore, consent was not unanimous. And the reason I objected is, A, we have rules for a reason.
Right.
I have seen too many times where we ignore the rules, where rules are treated as kind of arbitrary inconveniences, yeah, to be overlooked when they're inconvenient. So
right,
do you know they weren't counted?
Pardon?
Do you know their votes weren't counted?
Or are they trying to get
them? I don't know. And they haven't announced.
I suggest you check. I said, no, because I read your one, and it did not contain the words, I object. And since it did not contain the words,
no,
I object, they can go.
No, I object. No, I very clearly said, I object.
Well, why don't you email back to the chairman saying, I just want to make sure that you did not count those votes.
Yeah, because we don't know here's what I'm going to
say. I guarantee they will use every dirty trick they can. They have. I mean, Ken got elected on a dirt, you know.
He's good, but he's.
Oh, I like him, but it's a crooked election, just like everything else the Republican Party establishment does. It's a crooked, venal group of people.
And George, what is your suspicion on why we suddenly needed to reopen? Well, two questions I have. Does anyone know? So if they had to reopen it for these people, here's being just suspicious these days. These are three high profile people where word might have gotten out and they might have figured out about their vote. I got to wonder if they maybe just quietly reopened it for other people who forgot to vote too. I mean, and my question would be, why would they need to do that? I mean, my suspicion is that the vote was closer than they thought.
Got no emails saying, oh, okay, well, some people objected, therefore we won't count them. All we've heard is crickets. Crickets. And I wouldn't trust them just because they haven't, you know, he hasn't come back to us and said, sorry, people objected, so we won't. What does that tell you? They counted the votes.
And then some.
And then some, yeah.
I mean, maybe they didn't, and we should have a teller committee that releases an official report, and the people on the teller committee should be people that we trust.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
they lost the list, Randy. They don't know who voted.
They lost the list. They lost the list. Their dog.
They don't know if
George.
Yeah, if Mrs. Williams.
Well, and that's what happened with the election for the chairman, and that's why I believe Susan Beckman is not the current chairman of the state party, is because they didn't keep track, They were accepting proxies that were not in accordance with the rules. They were accepting them outside of the credentialing period.
Who cares?
The election was...
The only good part we got is Matt Crane was counting the votes. Who used to be the clerk and recorder for Arapahoe County. He's an absolute honest person. But they'll crick it before he gets to them. Oh, yeah.
Right.
What do you bet they lost your email? Oh, George sent us an email.
Wasn't the only one who objected. I was not the only one who objected.
And that's broadened it out a little bit, because I know we have people who listen who aren't from Colorado. And the thing that I always want to emphasize to folks is, if it's happening in Colorado, it's happening in your state. I think we saw with Donald Trump, we're seeing here in Colorado. Frankly, I think you saw it with Bernie Sanders. There are a growing number of people who are looking at the establishment elites on both sides of the party and say, you don't represent us. You don't care about us. You're getting the federal stimulus bailout. Yeah. I'm getting screwed. Yeah. And so we want to have grassroots people, which is what Randy is. And I think, George, that's the underlying battle. They have tried to squash you, stomp you, put you down. You've been leading this and trying to be common sense and saying, let's just look at our system and how screwed up it is. And no, you'd think they'd be saying, George, my God, thank you for pointing this out. But they don't, because they're like, George, we don't want people like you voting. We don't want people like Chuck voting. You know, we're going to tell you what to do, and you all just got to do what we say.
Yeah, I mean, and that's unfortunately been the case. I am heartened by the fact that we do have Matt Crane, who is running this. We do have this system, which is, by the way, far superior to the clickers that could be
the clickers. And Shauna's clickers,
I mean, so I am heartened by the progress that the party is making. I think that it is moving in the right direction. The fact that they even asked for unanimous consent for this is a step in the right direction, because I don't think they would have asked. I mean, they obviously didn't ask in the chair election for, hey, we have to reopen credentialing because we have all these proxies coming in at the last second. They didn't even do that. They just handed out clickers willy-nilly, and Lord knows there was no accountability. There was no, it passed from me to this person to this person. The ownership of the clicker and the ability to vote, who kept track of that? Nobody.
You know, and I think I want to actually raise a good point, and I think that a certain amount of this has to do with Ken Buck, who certainly we've criticized him on our show, but as a state chairperson, I believe he is trying really hard to make things better. And as you said, I think before they wouldn't have said
he got elected on a crooked vote, but at least he's trying to ameliorate too many in the future.
And that's
look
what they did with Senate District 10, where again this
Eli Bremmer totally crooked the vote,
and
got caught.
And under Ken Buck, they went ahead and said, okay, we're going to put both names on the ballot. So,
but they're not going to. Now, that's the great part. You have to understand how this. Because Eli Bremmer said he won't do it. You can bet at the end of the day there will be not two names on that one.
What do you think about that, George?
I mean, I am not a fan of Eli Bremmer, as he is not a fan of me. And I think that, you know, everybody always says, hey, we need to unite. We need to unify as a party. That's great. But why is it always the grassroots who has to unify with the people in control? They never have to unify with us. They never have to unify with us. No. It's always us who has to unify with them. And here we have an example of a Republican who's been in office, who's served and is not very popular, and you have an assembly to put people on the ballot where, let's just say, the process was not, let's say, orthodox or above reproach.
Right.
And there were questions.
Nice way to say
and
it.
Instead of addressing them, they tried to brush them under the rug.
Right.
Instead of doing the right thing, they did the wrong thing and just tried to ram it down our throats.
Right.
And so I'm glad that people brought it to the attention of the larger state assembly, the state body, the central committee. And the central committee sided with the grassroots and with average Republicans, saying, hey, this wasn't done correctly. And let's just for a moment assume, and I know, Chuck, this is going to be hard, but let's just assume there was an ill intent. Let's just assume that it was done poorly. Well, there are ways to fix it, but when you see them fighting so hard to keep, you know,
right.
one candidate off of the primary ballot, why?
Exactly.
Why are you, like, shouldn't you want to give Republicans a choice? And if there is a question as to the legitimacy of how access to the ballot was granted or not granted, wouldn't you want, okay, hey, we're going to put both candidates on, the voters can choose.
But the question is, how
do you do that? The way you do that is that Eli Bremer certifies that both to the Secretary of State that both should be on the ballot. Eli Bremer has refused to do that. So who can demand that
both
names?
Vice Chair actually filed a lawsuit to prevent that from happening.
Well, there you go.
So that'll delay it. Then they'll say, oh, it's too late. We can't reprint the ballots. You can just write it in. Well, you know, George,
here's the thing. I am a supporter of Randy Corcoran to become our state committeeman. So let me put my cards on the table. I support him. And there are a couple other candidates who are running who, you know, are good or less good. You know, I prefer Randy. But I think it would be a travesty for our party if Eli was elected, especially under the circumstances surrounding Senate District 10 in that election. And then these, you know, votes from El Paso County that they wanted added at the last minute without any explanation whatsoever.
I think you're right. You just need to send them a message. You can't do that. Let me ask you something else. I'm going to, a quick aside, because I know you're also involved, though, in, because I just like to get this information out, a ballot initiative with a crazy notion that says you have to be an American citizen to vote in an American election. Outrageous.
But you can send your vote in from Pakistan.
Yeah. So tell us how that's going and what's going on with that.
It's going well. We're on the ballot and we're going to win. And you will hear, you know, some of the Democrats, most of the Democrats who are smart know well enough not to oppose this just because it's so overwhelmingly popular. But you'll hear some Democrats say, no, it's already the law. It's, you know, this is unnecessary and you shouldn't support it. No. Let's be clear. The law as it stands now does say you have to be a U.S. citizen to vote in Colorado elections. However, that is a statutory, you know, provision. It is not in our constitution. So the General Assembly tomorrow or whenever they reconvene could change the law. And based on what Democrats have said, both in Colorado and nationally, I wouldn't put it past them. And I would not be shocked if Governor Polis signed it because they bend over backwards to accommodate those who are in the country illegally, even at the expense of American citizens and those who are here legally.
And now they're going to say, oh, and because of coronavirus, we have to have all mail balloting and you don't have to be a citizen and you can vote multiple times. And
well, Nancy Pelosi said the next.
You know what? You hear mail ballots and that's being proposed nationally.
Right.
You know what? Fine. Let's have that conversation. Let's say Republicans support mail ballots. Would they support a chain of custody that involves only the voter and their immediate family? So I receive my ballot in the mail.
Right.
I can take it to a ballot drop-off location or to the mailbox, or an immediate family member can.
No immediate family member.
Nobody else can touch it.
They'll do like Ilhan Omar has done, right?
Yeah.
Everyone will marry their brother.
You can't marry your brother.
Cousin,
you know, it's a mail-in ballot. They don't want a mail-in ballot. They want the Colorado blueprint where they don't care what the rules are. They never have cared what the rules are. All rules are voter suppression. They're all voter suppression.
And George, I agree. Here's a problem I have with that, because who in Colorado would end up prosecuting that? Probably
zero.
Well, Phil Weiser, the Democrat.
Oh, yeah. Phil Weiser will do it.
So we need to fight that. But
here's the thing. You're talking about step M. I'm talking about step B, which is they want step A, mail ballots. Step B, let's talk chain of custody. If they're not willing to have that
conversation,
if they're not even willing to address the topic, then you know that their intention is to steal elections.
Well, of course it is. They've been doing it for 200 years. Where the Democratic Party was founded.
Here's, and this guy's just from our producer at BBS. All votes should be videographed. He laughs. He says, might even work. You know, when you go into a voting booth, they say you specifically stating who you're voting for, then they collect it. Then he said, just a thought, I'm a person who believes that if you steal another person's vote, you should be put to death. Okay, now I'm not even that harsh, but he goes, that's just my character, as others died for the right. The theft of votes is worse than the theft of a horse, which was a hanging offense. Right.
But what's great about Democrats, let's say George is done, they'll go, okay, George, we'll give you chain of custody. As long as you get the mail ballots in, then they'll change the chain of custody. Yeah. They will. All they do is cheat and lie and steal. There's no reasonable debate. There is either you stop them or.
I think this coronavirus, if it's done anything, it's exposed the Democrats' authoritarian tendencies. Yes. They had to shut down the snitch line in New York City.
Yeah,
which wasn't
great.
The first in the country. I think the first was actually in L.A., but Illinois has.
Well, Jefferson County has one. It's got a number, and they encourage you to take pictures and send it to them.
I mean, how un-American is that? That is straight out of the Soviet Union, to snitch on your neighbors for not obeying a totalitarian regime. Listen,
Stasi,
I'm doing the smart thing as an American. I'm self-isolating, but come on.
Right. We had a friend who's a former law enforcement officer, Mark Poff, on the other date, and what he said was that, you know, the cops are being told, don't arrest felons, yet you see them arresting the dad in Brighton who was playing t-ball with this kid.
The mom, right.
So don't that. Listen, George, we only got a couple of minutes left. Thank you for your
Thanks
time.
Thanks for your time. It's great to talk to you, George.
Great to talk to you guys as well.
All right. Take care.
Anisopoulos there. We're getting text messages all over
the
place.
Well, I just want to say one more time, show sponsored by Colorado Citizen Press. Great stories today. Need to check it out. Colorado Citizen Press. Check it every day.
That's right. You know, a lot of stuff to talk about, which we didn't even get into. Jared Polis lifting to a certain extent some of the restrictions. Yeah, yeah. The folks go to, I want to make this plug for Jan Cook and all of those guys, Colorado Freedom Force. They're gathering petitions that they're going to deliver in some way, shape, or form to Polis. Again, saying we got to reopen the economy. We got to
get a drone to drop it.
Yeah, really. We got to get, well, I think they can just deliver it. But so go to
Colorado. No, you can't just deliver it in the Capitol these days.
No, they're not going to they've got a plan. That's all I'm saying they've got a plan.
They're smart, so they'll figure it out.
Right. ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Don't forget to sign that petition. Because I think the more people that stand up, and that's what we're seeing, you know, will tomorrow listen to Peter Boyles. We'll have the latest, you know, again, it is just appalling what I believe to be just the fake stories circulating about these people who we believe are not nurses at all. They become
we'll give you at least one of the real names. We're going to do everything to give them a chance to come on or to refute it. So, you know, that isn't the case, in which case we want to give them every opportunity, which I think is. It's too bad Kyle Clark doesn't believe in that.
So remember, you can always catch our podcast at chuckandjulie.com. Really appreciate it if you go to our YouTube page and subscribe to us, because then we can bring you even more stuff and we can bring it to you live. All you do is you go to chuckandjulie.com, click on the little icon, the YouTube icon, it'll take you right there. Even I can figure it out, so it's really easy. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to Peter. We're going to have Lauren, Bobert on later. I got a text, they got tied up with something. Thank you to the great guys at BBS as always.
As always, and thanks for all you. We really appreciate your support.